Concern has spiked in recent weeks and months about a rising tide of harassment and violence directed at Asian Americans, both locally and nationwide. Recently, the Chinese American Friendship Association of North Carolina, CAFA for short, hosted a webinar on that topic. 97.9 The Hill's Al Karras has more on that.
A recent survey conducted by CAFA of Chinese Americans in Chapel Hill and the surrounding community shows that more than 92% are concerned about the safety of themselves and their family. To address this overwhelming concern, this past weekend, more than 150 community members participated in an online discussion to shed light on discrimination against Asian Americans in the Chapel Hill area and to discuss the need for increased cooperation with law enforcement. One of the guest speakers at the webinar, FBI Charlotte Special Agent Robert Wells, said addressing hate crimes and racial discrimination takes a collective community approach for a collective community problem.
You know, it's not only an attack on a specific person or victim, it also threatens and intimidates the entire community. So everybody suffers from that, you know, whether it's the Asian Americans or African Americans. It's an attack on the entire community when there's an attack on one person.
The Center for the Study of Hate and Extremism found that while overall hate crime has decreased in the past year, hate crimes against the Asian American and Pacific Islander community have increased by nearly 150%. The nonprofit social organization Stop AAPI Hate received reports of nearly 3,800 hateful incidents during the first year of the pandemic. Well said, law enforcement needs to hear from the community to investigate these events. However, 89% of CAFA survey respondents said they would not or do not feel comfortable reporting incidents of hate crimes. Well said, that is a major concern.
So really what I would say from the FBI perspective, when you talk about what can you do to protect yourself, there's obviously a variety of things. I think the self-defense that you talked about is very, very important. But I think the biggest key from my perspective is the communication and collaboration within your community and with law enforcement.
Chapel Hill Police Chief Chris Blue, another speaker at the webinar, said the town of Chapel Hill has had no reported hate crimes against Asian Americans since the start of the pandemic.
And on the one hand, I might say that's an impressive metric and one of which we should be proud. I also cannot imagine for a second that there haven't been incidents of intimidation and inappropriate conduct that have simply not been reported to us. In fact, I'm convinced of that. I'd put $20 on it right now.
Blue said he is concerned about the percentage of the Asian American community that do not feel comfortable reporting incidents. He said more communication is needed between the community and law enforcement to build trust and to bring perpetrators to justice.
We take these incidents very, very seriously, and whether or not we're able to come to a successful conclusion in an investigation, to us, in no way should deter you from making those calls that are essential if we're to gather good data, if we're to know where incidents are happening, if we are to know where our outreach is most needed. We have to hear from the communities we serve.
Over the course of the pandemic, Blue said he has heard of several incidents that have targeted Asian American community members with stigmatizing language. A recent study of Twitter data found a dramatic increase in the use of the hashtag Chinese virus, along with anti-Asian rhetoric in the days after former President Donald Trump first tweeted it. The study suggests that the former president's inflammatory speech around the coronavirus helped spark anti-Asian Twitter content and subsequently perpetuated racist attitudes and discrimination. CAFA survey results show that these attitudes have permeated into the Chapel Hill community. 86% of respondents said they have experienced an increased level of anxiety since the COVID-19 pandemic began, stemming from this targeted language.
We're awfully proud of how progressive we are in our Chapel Hill community. Yet when we hear those kinds of things are happening, even in our community, we realize we've got a long way to go.
For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Al Karras.
Turning to COVID-19, hospitalizations are still slightly above 1,000 in North Carolina, and the J&J vaccine is still on hold for now as federal officials still look into a handful of cases of rare blood clots that might be associated with it. In the meantime, though, local health providers are moving ahead with other vaccines, and that now includes the Carolina Student Vaccination Clinic on campus. That clinic had just been using the J&J vaccine, so it's it's not been operating since the J&J pause happened. But as of Friday, it'll be up and running again with the Moderna vaccine instead. Dr. David Wohl is a professor of medicine and infectious disease expert at UNC. He recently had this to say about that pause with the J&J vaccine.
I think it's really hard. And I think none of us can really say with certainty or confidence, you know, how much of a side effect we're willing to tolerate for a really good vaccine. J&J may end up being a safe vaccine, except that there is some number of people, some very slight fraction, who can have a serious side effect. So if it's a 1 in a million, Jimmy, is that acceptable for a vaccine that saves X number of lives? Keeps people out of the hospital? These are tough decisions. I don't have the answer to that. Medical ethicists have to weigh in on this as well. But it could be J&J is a safe vaccine, but in our culture, in our society or our state, we may decide that 1 in a million people getting a serious, very serious life-threatening event is not worth it. The other thing, of course, is you don't want there to be 12 and then 18 and then 36 and then 156 cases. You want to look at this sooner rather than later and not wait. So maybe this is a very early look to prevent there being more happening later on that we regret. So again, I think this is a very cautious approach. No vaccines have ever been put through the scrutiny that these vaccines are being put through right now. And I think that's really clear.
That's Dr. David Wohl of UNC speaking there. The investigation into those cases of blood clots is still ongoing. CDC not weighing in with a final decision to unpause the pause just yet. But as you may have heard from CBS News a few minutes ago, new research indicates that you're more likely to get that blood clot if you have the virus than if you have the vaccine. Over to Raleigh, where it's a busy week for lawmakers as the state house considers a number of potentially significant bills, including one highly controversial bill that would ban trans girls and women from competing in women's sports in middle school, high school, and college. State House committee is holding hearings on that bill this week. Republicans are in favor, but Democrats are opposed. Elsewhere, the state house has signed off on a bill that expands North Carolina's Opportunity Scholarship Voucher Program. That bill also passed along party lines. That bill now heads to the Senate. Democrats and Republicans in the House are in agreement on a bill that would make daylight savings time permanent in North Carolina if Congress allows it. That bill cleared a committee unanimously on Tuesday. And the NNO reports a bipartisan group of House members is trying again to pass a bill that would ban the use of handheld cell phones while driving. That bill cleared the House 2 years ago, but died in the Senate. Back locally, Chapel Hill officials want your input on what you'd like to see in future festivals and public events. The town is holding a virtual Zoom meeting from 5:30 to 7:30 tonight for anyone who wants to weigh in. And you can get more info on that at chapelhillarts.org. Time is 6:15. And time now for sports, brought to you by Refuel, formerly Cruisers. Another acquisition for Tar Heel women's basketball. Two-time All-Ivy League guard Carly Littlefield will transfer from Princeton to UNC for her final year of eligibility while she gets her MBA at Carolina. Littlefield, already familiar with head coach Courtney Banghart. She played for 2 years under Banghart at Princeton before Banghart came to UNC. No big news from Carolina men's basketball yesterday, but up the road, a different story. Duke forward Matthew Hurt officially declared for the NBA draft. Individual honors for a number of Tar Heels yesterday, starting in football, where Trevor Collins has been named to the National Football Foundation's Hampshire Honor Society. Collins graduated in the fall with a 3.2 GPA and a degree in exercise and sports science. In men's soccer, Tar Heels Giovanni Montez Dioka and Alex Smear have been named second team All-ACC. And in women's lacrosse, 9 of Carolina's 12 starters, practically the whole team, earned mid-season All-America honors from Inside Lacrosse magazine, including 5 first-teamers: Katie Hogue, Jamie Ortega, Allie Mastriani, Emma Trenchard, and Taylor Moreno. Big news off the field for Carolina sports this week, too, as UNC announced an innovative group licensing program with a marketing company called the Brander Group. This is part of the ongoing discussion about name, image, and likeness, and a lot of changes happening all at once. This is exciting. More than 100 former Tar Heels in men's basketball and women's soccer specifically have signed on to the deal, which will allow for the licensing of merchandise featuring UNC's logo and the names and numbers of former Tar Heel greats. Both the university and the athletes themselves will be able to profit from sales. On the ice, the Carolina Hurricanes are in action tonight, hosting Nashville at 7. And one more bit of basketball news. Former Tar Heel Wes Miller was widely considered a top candidate for the UNC head coaching job. Of course, UNC hired Hubert Davis instead, but Miller wasted no time landing a big coaching gig of his own. He's just signed on as the new head coach at Cincinnati.